CRN, the cable radio network, presents this program for its entertainment value only as a service to our listeners. CRN does not endorse or object to any topics or views discussed in the program.
Leave those kids alone. This is Jerry Mintz, and the show is The Education Revolution. And, well, as you heard last week, we just happened to arrive in Colorado, in Denver, the same day that this incredible tragedy happened. And so we were kind of thrust right in the middle of this situation. I'll tell you just how in a few minutes. Well, you know, I was on my way out there with a group of students from the preschool in Albany, which is an alternative school, a very interesting school in Albany, New York, and I'll tell you more about that later, too. And so it's just coincidental. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We want to hear your opinions. I would like to hear from students out there, see what you think. And you know, we still have our trivia questions from a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to just throw those out if you want to break the ice that way by trying to respond to the trivia questions. First one that nobody's gotten yet is, what is the number one vegetable crop in the world? And we've had various guesses that seem pretty good, you know, tomato, corn, soy. Anyway, the question is, what is the number one vegetable crop in the world? The second one was, what is the largest charity in the U.S.? And we've had some nice guesses, like Father Flanagan's and Cancer Society and so on. Those weren't the answer. The largest private charity in the U.S. And the third one was, what is the most common name given to girls born today? Anyway, so those are the questions. If you want to give us a call, the number to call is, if you are in Los Angeles County, 818-353-1276. That's 818-353-1276. And if you're anyplace else in the country, the number is 800-336-2225. That's 800-336-2225. Well, I just got off the train coming back from Colorado to New York just a few hours ago. And so that was, I just can't even begin to tell you what an incredible experience this was. I'm going to start a little bit. The conference we were going to is an organization of alternative schools and homeschoolers, and they've been meeting for over 20 years, about 23 years now, I think. And these people are just amazing and heroic. They get paid actually a lot less very often to teach at these schools or even to direct them, but they really believe very, very strongly in this approach to education, and the idea of having small schools with individual attention, empowering students, holding them responsible for the things that they do, letting them take responsibility for their own education. And this is the National Coalition of Alternative Community Schools. And so this was their conference. And one of the things that's unusual about this particular conference is that there are more students than teachers that go to this conference, and I haven't seen any other conference like that in the United States. Maybe some homeschool conferences, but even then I'm not really sure that that's the case. And this was really, well, it's just an amazing group of people, and I'm going to give you an example what I mean. For this group that I traveled with, they are from Albany, New York, and they are in a school that was started by a woman over 20, 25 years ago for her own children, really. But there's no such thing as homeschooling at that point, so she started a school. And what she did is she bought an old Catholic school building in inner city Albany for very little money. It was kind of a degenerating community. And then they started buying up buildings all around it at auction for as little as $500. They all learned how to rehabilitate the buildings, fix them up, do the structural work necessary, and so on. In some cases, they gave the staff apartments in those buildings, you know, because they couldn't afford to pay them very much. In other cases, they rented them out, and basically the contributions from people living in those buildings has supported the school. So this is an inner-city, interracial school with basically no minimum tuition, very inexpensive. Anybody can afford to go. But the students don't have that much money, and so they wanted to go to this conference. And actually, this is something that I helped them learn how to do several years ago. They've been doing it ever since, is how to get their local community involved by getting individual students sponsored and by having dinners and various other kinds of fundraising events, plays, and so on. And those kids raised about $4,000. Now, these were kids ranging in age from about, I'd say, 11 to 13 or 14. And these kids raised $4,000, so that they could go on the train out to this conference in Colorado. And they're still traveling. They haven't made it back yet. There'll be a couple more days, I guess. I think right now they're probably in Chicago. So we took the train out there. I started in you know, New York City and met up with them in Albany, and we continued on out. We had no idea. Of course, this was actually, we got on the train. This was before this Littleton tragedy had happened. And we got out there and split up at that point. I went to see my niece. So those of you who were listening to the show last week heard her on the show, and I'll tell you a little bit about what she had to say last week. And be interesting again to see what students think about this. There was a caller last week, a student who talked about the cliques in school and how that was in different schools, and that there were kids like, you know, dressed in black and with dyeing their hair black and so on in their schools, and you know, they seemed kind of alienated and not part of everyone else and so on. And at that point, Jennifer came on. And just happens that she likes to dress in black and has her hair dyed black and all that stuff. But she is, and she went to an alternative school, a public alternative. And she graduated from there, and she is now taking pre-veterinary medicine out in Denver at the Bellray Institute. And she's been getting, she's been having a perfect 4.0 average for quite a while now. And she it was fun. We went down to the zoo that day. I went down to the zoo with her, and every time we came to some amazing animal, the largest rodent in the world, for example, maybe we'll do that as a trivia question. I wrote it down someplace. And she would sit there, and she would just tell us all these things about these animals, and a little crowd would develop. Or I would kind of stand around and listening to what she was saying as if she was a tour guide, because she knew so much. And it was just kind of fun to do that. And it was nice going around the Denver Zoo. It wasn't until afterwards, when we got out of the zoo, that we listened to the news and we heard about these two gunmen, two students in Columbine High School, and you know what they had done. And we were just stunned. And one of the things that concerned me was that this group, the free school kids, were scheduled to stay overnight in one of the schools, in an alternative school in the Denver area that actually was going to participate in this conference. They were going to sleep in the school in Jefferson County, right where Columbine High School is. And I tried to get in touch with them, but there was just an answering machine when I called, and so I hoped that everything was going to be okay. The staff from the school were with them, and it turned out that that it was okay, but the people were really freaked out about the whole thing, and they were very, very tight on the security. They checked the whole school and everything, and they had a situation there where once the kids went in, they could not go out. Nobody could go in. All the doors were going to be locked, and they could stay there overnight, and then they picked them up first thing in the morning, brought them up to Evergreen, where we had the conference. But it's just amazing that we just, as I said, walked right into this situation in Jefferson County. So this was, there's so many other things I have to tell you about this. Well, you know, I went up to, we did the show last week, which you heard, and talked with Arnie Langberg, who is the founder of the Jefferson County Open School. used to be called Mountain Open, in the Denver area. And he talked about the fact that he felt that the problem was that in these big schools, it was possible for kids to just be anonymous, to not be known. And they could have a lot of problems and so on, and people just wouldn't be aware of it. He started a school that had 250 kids, which is a whole lot different from a school of almost 2,000. And in New York City, you know, they're taking some of these big public schools and breaking them up into smaller mini schools within the same building. There's a woman by the name of Debbie Meyer, who started a lot of small alternative schools in New York City. And she said, you know, you wouldn't expect to have just one business or one company in the World Trade Center. Why should you have just one school in a big building? And so they've taken some of the bigger schools in New York and broken them up into a whole lot of mini schools. One of the feelings that we have about this is just the smallness. You know, if you have a school of 250 kids, you're likely to know if you've got a few kids there that seem to have some problems, and you're likely to find people who can communicate with them. And I just think that this kind, it's one of the reasons why we feel like it's not likely that this kind of thing could happen. Well, later in the show, I'm going to read you a statement that was talked about and drawn up, and part of which was passed by the coalition. I've been reading the Denver papers, you know, because I was right there in Denver. Almost every single article is about this situation, and I've got a bunch of them here. One of the things that was interesting is they talked about the number of gun-related deaths in the United States compared to other countries. And if you want to just hear one startling statistic, in Japan, there were about 93 deaths in the whole country from gun-related deaths. In the United States, the number was 31,000. And there was more in the United States, five times more in the United States than the next, you know, four or five countries on the list. Something that we have to look at, something we have to deal with. Well, some other stuff I want to talk about later on is Joseph Chilton Pierce, who I hope to have him on this show sometime. He was one of the speakers there. And he has done an awful lot of research on this kind of thing. And he talked about how, for example, with television, it's such a passive medium that you just need to have things happen to break your, you know, to kind of bring you back, to kind of surprise you, to shock you. Otherwise, you just become so passive, you just kind of tune the whole thing out. And this is why this more and more and more violence on television, maybe also in the movies, but there are two different kinds of mediums. And he talked about that too. But so, in fact, someone there mentioned that they were going to do some kind of a contract to do a children's show, but that they were required to do something like 18 acts of violence in an hour to keep people's attention, or various acceptable violence, of course, on the children's show. You know, the kids, you know, like the cartoons do the different various things and so on, you know, smacking each other, doing it. And he refused to do it, so he never did do the show. Well, anyway, so I'd like to know what you think about all this, what your opinions are. I'm going to tell you some other stories later in the show, but we really want to hear from you tonight. You out there who are probably just as shocked as we were right in the middle of it, and maybe we can tell you a little bit more. And again, we've got the trivia questions with prizes, so if you want to call in and respond to one of the trivia questions, we'd love to hear from you that way too. I'm going to repeat the trivia questions, then I'm going to repeat the numbers. The first question is, what is the number one vegetable crop in the world? And no one's gotten that for two or three weeks. And it's really, when you hear it, you'll believe it. Vegetable in the broadest sense, that is. And what is the largest charity in the United States? This is private charities. And the third question is, what is the most common name given to girls in the United States now? And again, here's the number to call if you have any comments about any of this, or if you want to try to guess the trivia questions for prizes. The number to call is, if you're in Los Angeles County, 818-353-1276. That's 818-353-1276. And if you're any place else in the country, the number to call is 800-336-2276. 800-336-2225. That's 800-336-2225. And we're going to take a quick break, and now's a good time to call. We'd like to hear from you. Bye-bye. Nope. Okay, we're back. This is Jerry Minson. The show is The Education Revolution. As I said, we really would like to hear what your opinions are about this. I'm going to read you. I got to give you a little bit more background on what was going on there. So, as I said, we had a conference. There were maybe 200 people there, over half of them students. It was one of the things that was a little bizarre for us is that I had a rental car, and it was so warm out there when we were driving around that we had the air conditioner on, and drove up into the mountains to the 8,000-foot level. And then we said, well, we heard that there was it was supposed to get a foot of snow, and we just couldn't believe it. It seemed impossible. Well, it did. We got about a foot and a half of snow, and it snowed through the whole middle part of the conference. It was kind of neat in a way because the kids were able to do some tubing and build forts and to build little snowmen and sculptures and things like that. So that was nice. We had people there from all over the country. In fact, outside the country, there was a group of Japanese kids there. There was a Russian student there. There was a guy from Spain, and it was kind of neat from my point of view to meet some of these people, like the family from Spain, because the way that it started is I got email from our website from this man who wanted to start an alternative school in Barcelona, where he was from, and it's difficult to do that in Spain. So he wanted to come to the United States and visit some alternative schools and get a sense of how they ran. So he wrote to me and asked me where he could do this, and I gave him some good suggestions. And it turned out he came to the United States and visited one of the schools I suggested, and is now working at another one, and that's a school in California. And the group came from California. Parents and teachers and students made their way across from California, and he came with them, with his baby and four-year-old and his wife. And after another year or so, he intends to go back and try to start his school in Spain. So it was interesting to meet them. And another situation, I just happened to be sitting down to lunch with this young man who I'd seen doing kind of break dancing the night before, and he's also a very good pianist, and he's one of the member of a school that was in Pennsylvania that came. And then I discovered that he was at that school because his mother had sent me email, and I had recommended to her, and she'd sent him there. I just, by coincidence, I heard these things. So that was kind of neat to see that this is the kind of thing that we like to do. When I say we, I'm talking about our organization. We have a nonprofit organization, which is called the Alternative Education Resource Organization. And we help people who are looking for homeschooling or alternative schools for their kids. And we see the big problem that we're looking at is we know these little schools work. We know that homeschooling is working for kids, but that's only a small percentage of the people out there. And I'll be honest with you, the main reason why we're doing this show, and we have another one on the Talk America Network too, the reason why we're doing these two shows is it's a way for us to get the word out to people, to let them know that there are alternatives, that these are options for them, that they're not trapped in their school situation if things aren't working out for them. And this is why we do this. And we get calls every day. We have an 800 number, and people call us every day to try to get some this kind of help, and we try to help everybody who calls. And if you, in fact, I'll give you the number now. If you would like to call us at some point, we'll give you information on how to start homeschooling and how to find alternative schools near you. I suppose you know by now that I put together a directory, a book, of all of the alternative schools in the country, over 6,000 of them that we were able to gather, including homeschool groups and other resources. And it's called the Almanac of Education Choices. And we sell that book for $23. You can buy it from us by credit card if you want. Send it right out to you. Basically, with the products that we have here, we sort of break even on these things. We have videos of homeschool resource centers that we've made and so on. And we have another book, for example, that helps people who are looking for distance learning. You know, want to do their college. It's called Campus Free College Degrees. It's another one that we sell. And we have another one that's just for people who want to start homeschooling. And we have a magazine, which you've probably heard about, which is has the same name as the radio show, The Education Revolution. And that's for people who want to know the latest things that are going on in alternative education. And so these are the kinds of things that we provide. And I'll give you our 800 number, and right now you'll just get a message, and you don't have to worry if there's a whole lot of people call at once, because we have a system that takes a lot of messages to clog up the whole mailbox, so you'll be able to get through. The number to call is 800-769-4171, and I'll give you that number again in a minute. And for example, if you're interested, now we do have a sponsor and you can call us at the same number if you're interested in knowing about the Laurel Springs Independent Study Program. This is for people who would like to study on the internet. We're pretty picky about our sponsors, which is one of the reasons why we don't have too many of them. We lose money, actually, on our shows. We are interested in having more sponsors, but they really have to be things that we believe in that will help people in their choices in education. We, for example, look very carefully at sponsors who want to talk about curriculum. We want to make sure that what they offer works. But as I said, one of the sponsors, the Laurel Springs Independent Study Program, is an accredited program, and they do individualized work. And you can actually graduate. They're fully accredited, and you can actually get a regular diploma from this through distance learning using your computer at home. As you've heard before, another one of our sponsors has very inexpensive used computers in case people don't have computers to get started with. And so if you're interested in information on those things, the number to call is, again, this is our office number here, and we'll get back to you either after the show or during the week. If you just leave your phone number, please do leave your area code too. So it's very sad when people call us and they forget to leave their area code, but remember, we are a national show here. Anyway, the number to call is 800-769-4171. That's 800-769-4171. And I'll tell you something else that happened that was just, well, you can understand this, I guess. After the conference, a number of us went down to the station, to the train station in Denver. And one of the kids from one of the schools, his choice of attire is he has a long black trench coat, dark glasses, and dark clothes. And it was freaking people out there. They were very upset. I said, I think this is understandable, but they were telling the security they wanted him searched and so on, and I guess they talked to the director of that particular group, and the security refused to search him, and he got on the train without any further incident. But there's just so much fear when something like this happens. But I believe very strongly that it just can't happen, just cannot happen, if you have a small school that uses processes to make sure that every student is heard, that students are empowered, that students can take responsibility for their education, that students are not afraid to talk to adults, that adults will listen to them. And this, I think, represents the schools that we had there. I'm going to just read you a little statement, part of a statement. This was a statement that we came up with just in one small group where we discussed some of this, but I see if I can read it, because it's not written out completely. We feel it's ironic that just a few miles from where we had scheduled our annual conference, a terrible tragedy took place, the worst in a series of similar school tragedies. The small size and cooperative relationships in our schools and programs tend to preclude such tragedies. So this was part of a statement, but basically we had a whole other thing, which I'll talk about later on, about the idea of standards. And I think it's related to this, the whole standardization process, which we basically oppose. We like individualization for people and for schools, too. And we think this is the way it ought to be. Well, anyway, I've done enough talking here. I guess you've heard some of my opinions about all this, and I'm just sort of decompressing after having experienced this intense situation over the last few days out there in the Denver area in Colorado and at this conference. We would like to hear from you and like to know what you think about all this, whether you agree or disagree with what I've said or what your opinions are. I'd like to hear from students out there particularly, but I'd like to hear from anybody. And the number to call is 818-353-1276. That's if you're in the Los Angeles County. Again, 818-353-1276. And if you're anyplace else in the country, the number to call is 800-336-2225. That's 800-336-2225. You know, this guy, Joseph Chilton Pierce, I don't know if people have heard of his books, but one of the things that he was talking about, and he referred me to a particular book called The Hidden Power of the Heart. And just, you know, it's so much we just don't understand. But the fact is that, and this is part of it, they discovered that 65% of the heart consists of neurons, just like you have in your brain. And it turns out that there's a sort of a brain in your heart that has a lot to do with how your organs are balanced and so on, and this sort of communication between that and your brain. And I asked him, I said, well, then what happens in the case of a heart transplant? And he says, you know, they discovered that in many cases that the person will start to take on the parts of the personality of the person whose heart they received. So that's pretty wild. I don't know. There's articles in here, The Hidden Power of the Heart. This may sound hokey. I have a scientific background, so I just want to study these things and find out what there is to them. He talked about how, television just tends to deaden a lot of the natural responses, learning responses in kids. And I know that there are a lot of homeschoolers out there and people involved with the Waldorf method and so on that won't even have TVs in their house or limit it very much. Well, anyway, so we're going to take another break, and this is a good time to give us a call. Nobody has guessed the answers for the trivia questions yet, and I'm going to throw those out again. First one is, what is the number? We'll give you a prize. We'll give you a copy of one of our books or a subscription to the Education Revolution. And next question was, what is the largest charity in the U.S.? And the third one, what is the most common name given to girls? We got prizes for anyone who gets them. The number is 818-353-1276. And if you're anyplace else in the country, 800-336-2225. So do give us a call. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. So we'd like to hear from you. Okay, this is Jerry Mintz, and the show is The Education Revolution, and we have Angela calling in from Tahunga. Hi, Angela, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
What's on your mind tonight, Angela?
I was wondering, is the most common fruit, is that carrots?
Nope, that's not it. This is in the whole world, you know.
Oh, okay.
The number one crop in the whole world. Angela, are you a student?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And at what level?
Well, actually, I'm going to college. But I have a question.
Sure.
What do they have, like, military schools for kids?
What's the question? When or...
Where?
Well, they have military schools around the country. There are a lot of them in the East, I know, and some pretty famous ones. Do you think that would be a solution to this problem?
No. Well, kind of, yeah.
Personally, I'm not very happy with the idea of military schools. I think it's okay for people where it works for them, but I would rather see, instead of external authority being imposed on kids, I'd rather see them learn how to take responsibility themselves, you see, for what they do.
That's true.
What are you studying in school, Angela?
Forensics.
Forensics?
Yes.
And what would you, what would that lead to? What kind of work would you do?
Police. I would.
I see. Wow. Yeah, I've gotten a few calls from people who are going into that field. How'd you happen to get interested in that?
Because I already work for the department.
Oh, I see. I see. So this is sort of to get a degree in what you're already doing, so to speak.
Correct.
I see. I see. So I suppose you heard all about what happened out there in Colorado.
Yes.
And, what do you think is the solution? What would change things so that this couldn't happen again?
The parents need to be more aware of their kids.
I think it's amazing. You know, people say, well, how could the parents not be aware of it, you see? But I think that it's hard to know for a parent what is just okay for your kid, what is just them expressing their individuality, and what's a really, really a warning sign. I mean, this is where, you know, it's the art of parenting, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, you get in trouble if you spank your kid, so the parents really don't have any,
Well, I think there's a lot of proof that spanking actually isn't very effective as a way of training kids. And I think there's a lot of research that indicates that it actually, the kids learn best when they're, they're calmer and more relaxed and not afraid of the people around them, including their parents. But I think that parents need to be supported in every way. I think they're sometimes afraid of what somebody's going to say. Well, thanks for calling in, Angela.
Thank you.
All right, take care. And we have another caller. What's your first name?
Oh, good evening. It's Frank.
Frank, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Okay. And so what do you want to talk about?
I want to comment on the school shooting in Colorado.
Sure, go ahead.
I don't believe any of this baloney malarkey about the rock and roll music, the clothing the kids wore, the children getting teased or picked on. The problem that happened in Colorado was a problem with security. At the high school level, you need to have a strong presence of security.
Well, then how would you explain then, Frank, that in all of the schools that we had coming to this conference, that there's no need for security, that they have almost no incidents of violence in a whole year, that they have mechanisms to work out their problems by conflict resolution and so on? There's no need for it.
Well, that might be the case where you come from, but in the real world, in the inner city, security is the issue.
Well, the interesting thing is that a lot of these kids were from inner city. There were, for example, four schools there that were Hispanic kids from Chicago, inner city Chicago. And I was just so impressed with those kids.
Are you familiar with Joe Clark?
Oh, sure. I don't agree with his methods at all.
Well, I thoroughly agree with his methods. He walked down the court with a baseball bat. He had the children in fear. Nobody would dare pull such a stunt under the watch of a Joe Clark.
Well, that was what the movie was about, but the reality is that they eventually threw him out of there. That it doesn't work. Fear is not the way to get things done, I don't think.
I think for the betterment of the entire student body, security is the issue. If there was security on that campus in Colorado, this never would have happened.
Well, you know, in other words, you think that there should have been metal detectors and so on in that school? I doubt they had.
Well, absolutely metal detectors would have been helpful. This nonsense about blaming the trench coats and the rock and roll music is baloney. Kids will be kids. Kids act that way.
You think this is a normal thing for kids to do? That
oh,
any
sure,
kid,
oh,
any
sure.
place
Come
you
on.
Go, you're gonna see this kind of thing happen?
Sure. This happens
how come we didn't? How come we didn't see this happening 20 years ago? Right?
I'm not so sure if it did or didn't happen 20 years ago.
There was no examples of kids just opening fire on their schools 20 years ago.
Well, the kids didn't have the guns. There was better security.
What about gun laws? You know, for example, in other countries, it's very hard to get a hold of a gun, and they don't seem to have this kind of problem that we do. Would you be in favor of removing guns from people?
Away from the schools, yes.
Well, no, I don't mean from the schools. I mean from everybody. Not making it so easy for people to buy guns. Would you be in favor of that?
I have no problem with stricter legislation, but I believe people have the right to bear arms. I do not believe the children have the right to bring guns to school. That's where we differ.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. In the state of Vermont, where I had my school, just about everybody had guns there. Yeah. And you would be, most years, there wouldn't be one homicide in the whole year. But I think that, again, that has something to do with smallness. You know, people knowing each other. I think that rather than, you know, just in tightening security, I feel like the answer is to break up these big schools into smaller units and run them in a different way.
Well, perhaps that'll work, but perhaps I think a stronger security presence would have saved lives in Colorado.
I'm just not sure that this is something you can do in every school. You know, in New York City, the police department now has control of the security in the schools, and I don't know if things have gotten better since they've done that, but it certainly is frightening to a lot of people to think that if the kid does something wrong, that this now, you know, in one of these schools, that now gives them a police record.
You need to have an armed officer on campus ready to slap the cuffs on a kid at any time they act out of line.
Yeah, well, I disagree with you, Frank, but I think that to certainly respect your right to have that opinion. I'd like to know what other callers might think about that, and I do appreciate you calling in.
Oh, you're probably right. You're probably right. The civil libertarians will always prevail.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Again, the number to call if you'd like to comment on this, if you're in Los Angeles County, the number is 818-353-1276. That's 818-353-1276. And if you're anyplace else in the country, the number is 800-336-2225. That's 800-336-2225. Well, I certainly respect Frank's right to have that opinion, but I believe that this is that you could never get enough security if you have irresponsible kids growing up, and if you don't have responsibility as a key part of your curriculum. And I really think that when I say that, it means also giving kids freedom and giving kids the right to make mistakes in some cases, but always giving them feedback. Well, we have Susan calling from Utah. Hi, Susan. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'd like to make a comment about the last call. He said,
"Sure, go ahead."
Better security 20 years ago. We had no security. I graduated 28 years ago. We never had any security at all. We never had any security at school.
We never felt the need for it either, right?
Well, no, but we didn't have better security. We had no security.
No, what I said was that not that. I'm saying that exactly 20 years ago, we didn't have the need for this,
right.
And there weren't these killings. So I don't think the answer is having more security. I think there's something more basic that we have to look at.
Right, but he's saying that we had better security. We had no security.
No, I don't think he's saying we had better security back then. I think he's just saying we need more security now. I'm the one who said, how come 20 years ago we didn't have the need for this, is what I was saying.
And he said because we had better security. But I think you're right, getting the root causes. One thing, me being a single mother, I know with a boy, is that the boys, there's a lot of literature and books on fatherless boys grow up to be dangerous men. These men, these boys, maybe if they'd been taking camping and out doing things, this energy of theirs needs to get directed. It's not women that are doing the shooting. And these boys, boys have a lot of good things they can contribute to the world, but needs to be directed positively.
Well, I think that their energy, the energy that boys have, has to have a way to have a place to go. It can't just be bottled up, you know.
Right, and it can't be suppressed either.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that this is a whole other thing. But they do this with the drugs, you know, this Ritalin stuff and all that, which I totally disagree with. I think that you know, there's something like, I don't know how many millions of kids they're giving these drugs to in school, you know, and that's, you know, rather than letting them be who they are, you know. I think.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble with my school and the teacher and everything, because my boy's smart and he's gifted, and I'm trying to get a hold of a charter school that's starting up. I live in a small rural type area.
Uh-huh.
How old
is your son?
He's 6 years old.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask your opinion on something? Does it
sure.
sound normal for you to have a six-year-old boy up against the blackboard for 6 weeks?
What? This is what your school did?
And they also have him from January until May. I finally spoke up, and so they got him up away from the blackboard, away from the other children. But now he has to leave the classroom and sit in a room by himself alone for a half hour every day.
This is your... Well, time is long gone by to get him out of that situation. Either you should homeschool or you can look for this charter school, but I would get him out of there.
Okay.
That's the kind of thing that causes these problems, I think.
Pardon?
I think that's the kind of thing that causes these problems.
Yes,
that's
isolation.
Not any effective way to deal with a problem.
Well, maybe I can call your 800 number and get some way to help me get this figured out. This is insane, and I really appreciate you taking the time on the air to even discuss it with me.
Well, I would be glad to talk with you. I'm really glad you called me.
Okay.
And again, you have that number, 800-769-4171?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, just call us, and I can talk to you after the show or sometime during the week, and I'll tell you what your options are.
Okay, thanks. God bless.
Well, thank you for calling in. Okay, we have got to take another break pretty soon, and we've got some people who are waiting patiently to come on, and I really would like to know your opinions about all these things and appreciate, you know, people calling in, and we're glad to help in any way we can. Again, the number to call is 818-353-1276 if you're in Los Angeles County, and 800-336-2225 if you're anyplace else in the country, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
We don't need no thought control.
Okay, this is Jerry Mintz, and the show is The Education Revolution. And tonight we're talking about what happened in Colorado, and among other things, I suppose you know that I was just out there right in Jefferson County, and I was at this conference of the National Coalition of Alternative Community Schools, and we have Tom calling in now from San Diego. How are you doing tonight, Tom? Hey, Tom. Can you hear me? Hello, Tom. Hello. Tom, you there? Can't hear anybody. Okay. Well, anyway, you know, I want to read you a little bit editorial that I wrote a year ago and see what you think about this. Let's see. Now, this was just after the Jonesville and Springfield massacres, and didn't know what we were headed for next. But anyway, it said, everyone seems to be quite perplexed by the shootings of children by children in Jonesville, Arkansas, Springfield, Oregon, and several other places. But the shootings aren't so hard to understand. And they do have some things in common. I don't think that the primary factors are accessibility to guns or the responsible instruction on the use of guns. One thing these incidents have in common is that they happened in public schools, not in the mall or at McDonald's. I think that the causes have to do with culture in which life is very frustrating and anger-producing for children in today's schools and in their homes. Furthermore, children and subsequently adults do not learn how to adequately and effectively express their anger, make decisions, deal with problems, and take responsibility for their education and their lives in order to effectively meet their own needs. I'll go on with this afterwards, but that gives you a little idea of what we're thinking. And we have Debbie calling in. Hi, Debbie. How you doing?
Hi, Jerry.
Where are you located, Debbie?
North Providence, Rhode Island.
Providence, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think?
What, first, did anyone guess the Pub Festival Club yet?
No, no one's got it.
Is it lettuce?
No, it's not lettuce. I would say you got to think a little bit wide. Remember, I said it's kind of the broadest definition.
I know, you said it was so wide.
So, for example, people have guessed wheat and people have guessed rice. That's the kind of way to think. You see what I mean? Not the usual kind of just vegetable,
oh, okay.
But you see what I mean? So, what do you think about all this stuff we've been talking about tonight, Debbie?
Well, I think what happened in Colorado was absolutely awful, of course. It sure got me thinking more about homeschooling.
Yeah.
I have a 7-year-old in first grade. And I'm 3-year-old.
Right. And you know, there is an alternative school in Providence called Wellspring. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
See, this is the problem that people, this is why I put together my directory. People just don't know that these things exist, that they do have alternatives in their communities, especially if they may not be able to homeschool. I mean, homeschooling is legal in every state, and we're certainly happy to help people who want to start doing that, but right. But there are alternative schools, and Wellspring is a school, I don't know, they maybe have 20 or 30 students. Hmm. It's a small school, and it started with a homeschooling group, so if you can just look in the phone book there in Providence and look up Wellspring, and there's a woman by the name of Maria Spurduti who is the director of it and has been a long-time subscriber to our magazine, The Education Revolution. And, you know, this is one of the first places to look. But if you want more information on homeschooling, please do call us up, and we'd be glad to send you some stuff.
Yeah, I did take your 800 number down, so that'll be
right.
Good. Yeah, I was thinking about it before the Colorado incident, and then when that happened.
Really?
It was like, you know.
Yeah, I think maybe if you can try to take anything positive out of this, it may be that people will realize that they have to do something different, that they have to really look at their own kids' situation and not just go along passively. People have to realize that the education of your children is the parents' responsibility primarily. It is not the public schools'
yes.
responsibility. You have the first responsibility and the right, and if you don't like what the schools are doing locally, there are alternatives, and there's homeschooling for everybody.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think hopefully the Colorado incident will wake up everybody, as far as legislators, the school committee, I mean, everybody, and parents. Because
right.
I think, you know, we all have our problems with the schools, and I really believe that it falls upon deaf ears, you know.
Well, yeah, I think that what happens is that someone that made a kind of interesting analogy that the public school system is almost like an organism that wants to keep its own shape.
Right.
You know, they just want to keep the teachers in jobs and
right.
keep it operating, and it almost gets away from its original purpose, you see.
Yes, I
which is to meet kids' needs.
I agree.
Well, thanks for calling in, Debbie.
Thank you.
All right, and bye. I'll talk to you after the show or sometime during the week and give you some more information.
Repeat your 800 number, please.
Again, if people would like to call in to our 800 number, this is our office of the Alternative Education Resource Organization, they can reach us at 800-769-4171. I'll give you that number one more time, and I will be talking to people who call in during the show and leave their numbers, and I'll call them back either tonight or during the week. See what we can do to help them find alternatives for their kids. I think a lot of people are looking for them now, and that's what it is that we try to do, and we've been doing for a long time. And the purpose of it, again, is because we'd like people to know that they have these choices, that they have these options for their kids, and where it's just wonderful that a couple of the people who have called in today, you know, who are looking for those needs to be met. Again, our number is 800-769-4171. And, you know, if you're interested in calling into the show, we just have maybe time for another caller and like to know what you think about what you've been hearing tonight. The number is, if you're in Los Angeles County, 818-353-1276. And if you're anyplace else in the country, the number is 800-336-2225. I'm going to continue reading this editorial that I wrote about a year ago about the Jonesville situation. Essentially, all that the public schools offer, and all that many American homes offer, are listen to what the teacher says or listen to what your parents say, and you'll be okay. Maybe there was a time in the past when this was good enough, but it's not good enough today. The fact that these shooters were so-called normal children is true, because these problems with expression are the norm for our society. In fact, there are schools and there are homes today in which children have learned how to manage their lives and express their feelings and their anger in appropriate and effective ways. Educationally, these approaches come under the category of alternative. They include alternative schools and home education. In some of these cases, there are actual democratic decision-making processes in place, which give children a voice and a way to express themselves and be heard. All children, adults, and adults have anger at one time or another. Because alternatively educated children have continuous outlets, anger does not build up to uncontrollable levels. In the schools and homeschools where this is the case, violence is virtually unheard of. If any of these children / shooters had experienced real empowerment and responsibility in their schools and in their homes, and if they had learned better ways to express anger and deal with problems other than by the ubiquitous arcade games which teach kids to solve problems by shooting down their enemies, these tragedies might have been avoided. So this was the editorial that I wrote about a year ago, and I think it applies today. And I want to just tell you that there was an interesting incident at the conference in which some kids got into a dispute over a ping pong game, and one of them was bothering the other, and one of them went after him, tried to push the kid out of the way, and it came to blows. But it was stopped immediately by the other people who were there, and it went to a mediation committee immediately. And in the mediation committee, this was a situation in which the kids each got a chance to say what it was that they happened from their point of view, and each of the kids realized that there were some things that they did wrong. The first kid who was annoying the people playing ping pong, and then the first kid playing ping pong who actually was the first one to use physical force by pushing the other kid out of the way, and so on. And they came to realize what the story was, and they left friends again, and able to communicate, and having been listened to. And I think that, see, this is just a microcosm of what we're talking about, that if you can, you know, you don't just let these things go by. And if a kid, for example, these kids felt slighted, felt like they were outcasts, these were things that would be dealt with in a good alternative school. They wouldn't just be ignored. Anyway, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about, and I hardly have time to do this because we're running out of time, but there was just a wonderful, wonderful panel of students at this conference. And in this panel, the students talked about various experiences they had as discriminated against minorities. And one boy talked about what it was like to be raised by a lesbian mother, and he said he came to dislike himself as a white male, and then he finally realized it was okay to be who he was, and so on. He had to work through these things and had to deal with the discrimination against his family. And then there was a girl who was Hispanic, and she thought that she was going to her first conference. She thought they were going to all be Hispanic kids, and she discovered that she said that they were mostly white. She said, "I'll be honest with you. I looked out here and I saw they were mostly white, and I drew my opinions about this because I've experienced a lot of prejudice." She said, "And I want to tell you that I was wrong in that opinion. I was wrong, and I want to apologize to you for that because I've met some wonderful people here." And it was just, and one of the girls from the audience who was white said, "You know, it just, when I heard you say that, I just felt like going and up and hugging you." And so, and she said, "Well, then come up and do it." And people said, and she went up and gave her a hug, and it was just a remarkable experience. And I think that this kind of interaction is wonderful when you can see it. Kids, I think, you know, when you really give them responsibility, rise up to the situation. Well, we're almost out of time, and I just want to thank you, people who called in today, and if anybody would like to talk to us further after the show or during the week, if you need any further information on alternative education and homeschooling, and or if you, for example, know of a good sponsor that would kind of help us underwrite our program, because we're losing money every month with our shows just in our attempt to try to get the word out. We do need more sponsors, so if you know of an appropriate one that we can believe in, let us know. Anyway, the number to call for our office is 800-769-4171. That's 800-769-4171. And we do love to hear from you and help in any way that we can. I told you some of the great experiences of the conference where we met people who had contacted us and now have their kids in alternative schools and part of them and so on. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight, and hope you'll be with us again next week for the Education Revolution. Give us a call, 800-769-4171, and we'll see you next week. Take care.